by. They saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." From the book of Acts, chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church." And finally, Hebrews 13, verse 8. "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." May God add a blessing to the hearers of his read word. We do honor and respect our presider, Dr. William Robinson, to our bishop and our executive board, to their wives, to all our superintendents, especially to my superintendent, Ella James Williams of the Tampa West Coast District, to all you that are present today. Thank God for some of my family members being present. And also, thank God for Miss Universe, who is my wife, who is unable to be with us today, but she called me this morning and let me know she's going to be praying. God is good, isn't he? We want to say, we hope you have your Bibles. I'm that type of a preacher. You got to have a Bible. And we pray that you follow along as we deal with a subject, prevailing prayers. Give me some answers. Now, I could have went on Google and all these other places, but I found out the best way to handle God's business is to stick with his word. Amen. So let us get started. And I'm going to tell you right now what we're going to be dealing with. We're going to give you some answers about this proud business. Well, we'll start with this couple who's now at the age 70 plus. The man behind the steering wheel of the car, his wife on the passenger side. And they on their way to an event. It's a little quiet in there. They've been married 50 plus years. And all behold, the wife started up a conversation. She said, "Honey, do you remember when you used to open the door for me?" He said, "Yeah, I remember. Do you remember holding my hands as we would go walking?" He just sort of, "Mm-hmm." "Honey, do you remember when you would kiss me till my toes curl?" Yeah, I remember. "Honey, do you remember when people saw us in the car in their passing, they thought we was a two-headed creature because we were so close to each other?" "Yes, honey, I remember." Then she asked the question, "But honey, what happened?" He pauses, gets quiet in the car. Then he looked his hand at 10 o'clock on the steering wheel, and at 2 o'clock, and he's holding the wheel, and he sort of give an assessment of the car and saw her position, and he then replied back, "Baby, you move." Answer number one to why we don't get some answers from God: we have moved. We have moved. I recall coming in and being born into this church when people would leave their church and come down where we was there in Winter Haven in the old wooden church. And they were tiptoe looking through the windows. And when it was prayer time, they were easing the door and getting the prayer line and be prayed for and was delivered because we believed in prayer. We was faithful to our services. We would testify and tell the goodness of Jesus. I wonder, do you remember? You know, it's sad, but some of you don't even recall the last time God ever did something for you. Oh, y'all don't got quiet. We have allowed the enemy to seduce us away from God. We used to be so close to God that we was like peanut butter on white bread. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you put peanut butter on white bread and then you try to pull it off, what happens? The bread comes. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. That's where we was with God. We feared God, and by fearing God, we knew that our God was a holy God. And he said, "Be holy, for I am holy." Being holy, we separated ourselves from a lot of foolishness. We didn't go to everything. We didn't attend everything. Because we fear the God we serve. And anytime you walk in line with God, when you call out to Him, He will answer. He's obligated to do so because we fear Him. What happened? Our dress change. Then I see some things we do. I still ain't figured it out because I don't see it in the Word of God. How we'll let certain things creep in. Then we have the nerve to question God, why ain't you doing this? Why ain't you doing that? Remember, we moved. We used to respect our preacher. Now y'all curse him out, stab him in the back. Did a praying for him, talking about him. But I'm so thankful I grew up where the preacher was well respected. I recall, just for an example of how they respected the preacher, and they taught us, before you go to the emergency room, before you go to the hospital, before you go to the doctor, go by the church first. I know y'all got it reversed. But see, when you out there playing with the enemy, you act like them. You play with a dog long enough, you're going to get fleas. But I remember the year was 1960. It was in the fall. And this couple in the Winter Haven Church had just birthed a new baby girl. And then all behold, the doctor came and said to the mother that this little girl is just born with one lung. And she's not going to live long. All behold, the mother distraught, the husband distraught, but the mother had enough sense to call her pastor. The pastor at that time was Elder Willie C. Smith. And the mother, in telling me this story, told me, said she was bothered when she called Elder Smith and asked him, telling him the story, what was on the line? This child's life was at jeopardy. But she took time to call the preacher. But she was bothered when she talked to Ella Smith that Ella Smith said, that baby gonna be fine, and just hung up the phone. that was too short for her. She couldn't quite understand it. And really, she got bothered about what the preacher said, but then finally, she thought about it. Wait a minute. I followed the instruction. I've called the elder of the church. I did as I was commanded, and the preacher told me the baby gonna be all right. She headed back down to the hospital because they was keeping the baby. And all behold, when the doctor saw him, I think it was Dr. LaRue to be specific, and Dr. LaRue saw the mother. He said, come here, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. And he said, come here. She followed him into the room, and he said, I want you to look here. He wanted to show proof that his diagnosis was right. He said, look at these x-rays, this child, and see this. And he said, but I'm going to tell you, since you have left here, I don't know what happened. I want you to look up here. I don't know what happened. But now that child got two lungs. God answers prayer. And y'all get a bonus today. That mother and that daughter is here today. Stand up, will you? Now, that's the mother. That's the daughter. God answers prayer. See, y'all. Hallelujah. See, I know that story because that's mom and that's my sister. Amen. God answers prayer. Now, another main ingredient was disclosed as we read Mark 11. And he gave us actually the recipe for answered prayer. We need the recipe. He said, have faith in God. And he said, you can say to the mountain, be removed, cast into the sea. And the key here, don't doubt in your heart. You can have whatever you say. Turn quickly with me as I give you an example of faith in Matthew chapter 15. And for sake of time, I'm going to just paraphrase it if you'll follow along. That's why it's important to bring your Bible. In Matthew 15, verse 22 to 22, it tells us the story of this woman of Canaan who had a request because her daughter was severely demonized. And some of you need to look at this real close because some of your children is severely demonized and demon-possessed. I'm going to move on. She asked the question of Jesus, and she asked Jesus to take time and heal her daughter. Disciples tried to send her away, but she was persistent as we should be in our prayer. He then said to her, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he went on to tell her that it's not good to give the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. But then I perceive in my spirit, because I love to do a little baking and cooking and all that, that this woman must be was a good baker. Now, I know y'all don't see that. But I believe she was a good baker because, see, every good baker knows that the same amount of eggs, the same cups of sugar, the same cups of flour, the same amount of milk, the same vanilla flavoring, the same salt and baking soda that was in the cake is in the crumbs. Just give me some crumbs. Woo! Oh, Jesus. It's in the crumbs. See, Jesus through said, it ain't good to give the children bread, letting them know it wasn't time for you, Gentile woman. But Jesus said, your faith, great is your faith. Look at that verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said to her, oh woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. She had the recipe. I wonder today, do you have the recipe? Can you get a prayer through? Some of your lives is just as raggedy as a mango seed. And then you want to call on God and expect God to respond. Another thing we need to look at to get answers for God is how he teaches us in his school, and how he tests us we who are believers, we have to mature in Christ Jesus. Now, God ain't looking for you to stay on baby formula. This was the problem Paul had when he went to a region and he come back. He said, "My, I come with steak and potatoes this time, but I got to put that down and give y'all some Similac, some baby formula. Y'all not mature enough to handle the word." You know, that's sad, because that tells us that we're not in our Bibles. See, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Turn with me to Matthew 8. Very interesting point here, and I don't want you to miss it. In Matthew chapter 8, we find here in verse 22. Well, let's pick it up at verse 23. "Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we are perishing.' But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful? Are you a little faith?' Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And they began to question, 'What manner of man is this?'" Now, I want you to understand, if you go over to Mark chapter 4, he give us an understanding that according to verse 35, he start this same story where on the same day when the evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." Now, he did this, and why he said, Mark wrote that it was on the same day, he tried to get us to understand, if you're a student of the Bible, that he had been lecturing and teaching the disciples about faith, and how they got to trust God. And then Jesus made the statement, "Let us go to the other side." So he had already made a promise, and he's good about keeping his promise. They was going to make it to the other side. So just like any great instructor, he put them to the test. See, that's the best way to see if they really paid attention, to really see if they got it. Let's quiz them. Let's put them to the test. Oh, behold, when they get out there. Now, come on now, we're dealing with professional fishermen. A storm comes all of a sudden. And it was so great that they was troubled and actually afraid. Jesus sleep. And he tried to get them to understand when he got up and said, "Peace be still." He questioned them. And he said, "Where's your faith?" We've all seen the AT&T commercials where the man is asking the children, saying, "More is better." Wouldn't you agree more is better? And I said that to say this, if you note the pattern in which Matthew put this chapter 8 together, if you're a student of the Bible, you come to understand that all these miracles that was being performed, it was about 10 all together there, that Matthew in his writing did not put it in chronological order. And there's a reason behind that. If you're a student, you'll say, it'll raise a flag and say, "Well, why Matthew didn't put Put what? Well, I'm glad you asked. In Matthew 8, when he started talking about the woman, the man, the centurion, in verse 8, he said, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy you should come to my roof, but just speak the word only. And he said, assuredly I say unto you, I have not found such great faith, not in Israel. So he was trying to get us to see Matthew. He put these in the same chapter, not chronologically, but that we will have a contrast and be able to see the difference between little faith that the disciples had and great faith that the centurion had. Now, I ask you a question today. Since we all been given a measure of faith according to Romans 12 and 3, do you have little faith or do you have great faith? Great faith always moves God. God will answer if you got great faith. See, when you're talking prevailing, you're talking about operating in the supernatural. It ain't got nothing to do with us. It's God at work. Ain't God good? We about done. Let's look at some readings, and I'm not going to read it all, but I thought this was very notable. This from a great preacher, and he gave us some instructions concerning divine healing. It reads, God has equipped every person with 5 natural senses. We know what they are. They are hearing, tasting, smelling, feeling, and seeing. They are natural and given to us to govern us in the natural world. But God has also planted in the heart of every man a measure of faith. It is through our 5 senses that we gain knowledge. But it is not through our senses that we know God. We know God through our faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. Our senses are not facilities through which we are to know God and receive his blessings. Many who pray will not believe they have received the answer if they cannot feel or see it. They have not learned what faith is. Skipping down, let me conclude in so much this great preacher said, but he went on to say that in every case of healing, there are 3 witnesses. The word which declares, by his stripes ye were healed. We could, in fact, state the way of faith in only 3 steps. Step number 1, know what God has promised. Step number 2, ask him to do what he promised to do. And step number 3, act like he has done what he promised to do. I gave you just a few excerpts from the great preacher of this church, Nathiel Scipio. And he has so much information for us in the layman's handbook that he gave to us, the people of God. Ain't God good? So yes, God answers prayer. Do you believe him? Do you believe him? All right, well, let's come and bring this thing to a close. Follow me now to Acts. chapter 12. We've learned already, we move. We learned already we got to have faith. And while we're there, I say this. Some of us ain't even had enough faith to trust God to pay our tithes and our offerings. And wonder why the church can't do some things. When you gonna do your part? You owe God the tithe. And you will be blessed as you participate in offerings. And you know what? I thought it was, this thing come to me when I was in a restaurant. And I observed, and I saw some of you do it. Y'all don't mind me being an observer. He told me to watch, didn't he? Okay, I just making sure. But some of you are sit down to a nice meal in a restaurant and be served by a waiter or a waitress you don't even know. And all behold, after they get through serving you, you take your cell phone, you get the bill total, and you use that tip calculator. Oh, y'all getting quiet. And you calculate 15, some of you 18, some of you 20% to tip somebody you don't even know. And in your local church Sunday, you won't even pay your 10% tithe. Shame on you. Shame. And then you want God to answer your prayer. I'm moving on. Let me tell you here, let's move to Acts 12. I'm about done. Acts 12 take us to something that, believe me, I've been there, you've been there, when we question God on some real cases. But I want to give you peace today in knowing that the God we serve, He is a sovereign God. Now, when we look that word up, it tells us that God do what he want to do, when he want to, how he want to do it, huh? And believe me, I've learned the Lord can really show out. He can do some amazing things. But then it ain't for all of us to be delivered. Some of us, he used, old baseball term we know it by, is a sacrifice play. Yes. Oh, y'all don't like to hear that, do you?
All right. Well.
Where in order to advance another runner
right.
closer to home, that runner is going to be put out. He put out, but the other runner advanced. And see, y'all missing the whole objective. The whole objective of the game of baseball is to win, the one with the highest score.
Right.
So if I took one player and advanced him who was on second to third,
yes.
I'm doing something.
Yeah.
And if I can get that one from third to home and win, we all victorious.
Yes, sir.
I don't want you to miss it. So we find here in Acts 12 that it was James that they open up with, where Herod the king had scratched out and
yes.
he wanted to harass the church.
Yeah.
And I want you to know God loved James as well as he loved John and
yeah.
well as he loved Peter. But this time, James was the sacrifice. And yes, it caused the church to be victorious.
Yes.
Because the key here is said in verse 3, and when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put Peter in prison and delivered him to full quads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover. So I want you to know what happened. The scripture said Peter was therefore kept in prison. But look what the church did. He said, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. James being killed by the sword, it called for a call meeting, a special call meeting, called prayer meeting. And the church gathered in the house and began to pray, Lord, deliver Peter. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. I want you to know, it said Peter was in prison. Look at it close. In verse number 5, it said he was in prison. But then that word but is there. That changes the whole scene. Can you follow me? See, Bishop, if you don't mind, there was a thing we used to do when we was little boys, you know, thank God we saved. But we used to go and tease with the girls. And we would get in their face, Mother Brown, and we would tell them, say, you know what, baby? Roses are red. Violets are blue. Sugar is sweet. And so are you. Boy, by that time, the girl be, Harvey, tell me more. Tell me more. But see, she was so caught up in what I said, she didn't hear me say, but. I said, but. So she's still there. She just going like this. And I said, but your roses are wilted. Your violets are dead. Your sugar is lumpy. And so is your head. Then I take off running. But changes. It changes something. Prayer was being made by the church for him. That prayer reached the throne room of God. And God sent his angel to deliver Peter. Said, Peter, get up, put your shoes on, follow me. He began to walk. The scripture said it was a quarrel. Of soldiers. And they went past the first war, went past the second war, and they said it was the iron gate that was there keeping everybody in check in the prison. But it took so many teams of oxen to move that gate. But because the church was praying, I see here ain't nothing Peter did. Peter was asleep, remember? But it was the church that was praying. Preachers, if you got a praying church, you can get some answers to prayer. If you got a praying church, God will answer. Came on. Pass. The first and second war. And because the church was praying, God never did bother the oxen. Let them sleep.
But as the angel who was giving Peter a divine escort moved toward the gate, the scripture said the gate opened on its own accord. Look at God. And I don't want you to miss this about the soldiers. That's why it's important for you to have the Holy Ghost. Because not only is the Holy Ghost power, but the Holy Ghost is also a restrainer. And if we have the Holy Ghost, it's a lot of things can't come our way because the Holy Ghost restrains it. He put a figure in a bear hug. It can't get to us. Sickness can't get to us. Problems can't get to us because the Holy Ghost restrains it. Come on. Peter was in prison, but prayer was made by the church. In my clothes, I recall in Winter Haven there when I was a little boy, there was a sister by the name of Sister Ovell Andrews. And as a little boy, I heard her with this same prayer request time after time. Y'all, pray for my son. This boy was so bad. I think he was badder than baby kids. He was badder than Leroy Brown. He was bad. But one thing I admire about Sister Ovell, every opportunity she got, I could hear we used to go home as children because there was nine of us. We was eating at the dinner table. Mark and Sister Ovell, y'all remember to pray for Ronnie. Y'all remember to pray for Ronnie. But the church prayed. Where's Ella Roberts today? There he is. Prayer was made by the church. Y'all gonna help me close this thing out. Each of you should have been given a marker. And I know some of you trying to figure out what it means. But in this little marker, I want you to remember that I don't care what you're going through. I'm gonna name the issue. And I want this side of the church to say, but prayer. I want this side of the church to say, was made. And then I want the choir stand and the elder to say, by the church. That's what the BP, WMBTC mean. I want you to know Johnny is strung out on drugs. Paulette is now has become Paul. Y'all didn't get that. Paulette, she now want to become Paul. Jerry now want to become Geraldine. Sammy is in ICU. Plukey needs a new job. Tamika is being hard-headed. The baby needs a new pair of shoes. Wait a minute, hold it. I forgot this 2013.
And we can't be doing all that stuff if we're going to text. So let's shorten it. Look at your card. This group, I want you to say BP, WM, BTC. All right? Somebody sick that you love dearly. Woo, glory to God. Somebody got cancer. Prayer was made by the church. And I want you to know, if you got a praying church, Jesus said, as I prepare to close, he said in Matthew 16, when he asked, I want a word from the streets. Who do men say that I am? And they begin to say, some say you Elijah. Some say you this prophet Jeremiah, what have you. But then, oh, behold, Peter, our main character today, he got a word from the Lord. And he said, thou art the Christ. Woo. Woo. The Son of the living God. He said, Peter, upon this rock, I build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. See, when you look at that word church, this was the first time it was mentioned in the New Testament. And it speaks of a called out assembly. Y'all hear me? It's a called out assembly. We are separated for a reason. We got to be holy for he is holy. We living in a day when everybody talking about they coming out the closet. But Jesus told us, the church, to go into the closet. Shut the door. Call on your Father in secret, and he will reward you openly. It's time to go in the closet. It's time to call a prayer meeting. When you get home, see, prayer's talking to God. And some of us don't talk to him long enough. We don't have a relationship with him. That's another reason why we don't get answers to prayer. Next time you go home, your assignment, pull up your cell phone bill. And I want you to look at all the minutes you talk in the month. Total them up. Total them up. And especially how long you talk to every friend. Because that's how you talk to God. And see, some of y'all scared me. Because see, I don't talk to my friend James. Hollering and screaming and hey and oh, woo. No, you talk to a friend. Hey, buddy, what's up? I'm going along with you. Hey, you want to meet for dinner? That's how you talk to a friend. And that's how we ought to talk to our Lord in prayer. Huh? Sometimes we scare folks. Huh? Oh, y'all. But all behold, you check. And let me help you here. If you see that your time in prayer is less than when you're talking to your friend, you need to increase your prayer time. You need to talk to God. You need to turn off the telephone, turn off the TV, turn off the Xbox, turn off the iPad, turn off all the pads, get into your closet, talk to God in prayer. Every pastor ought to increase prayer time at the church. It's praying time. Too many sick, too many die. We need prayer. Prayer got to be made by the church. It'll turn this world upside down. Yes, it will. We need to pray. We'll get the answer. God promised, and God keeps his promise. Will you pray more? Remember, but what? What? What?
What? I love you.
Come on, give God some praise.